90.5 WKHS, you're now listening to Fan Cam with Peter and Andrew, where you get to hear two friends talk about sports from a fan's perspective.
Week by week, we will be discussing score predictions, breaking sports news, your very own Trojan sports, and your favorite big-time teams.
Join us every Thursday to hear us learn more about sports and give our spin on the modern-day sports talk show, right here on 90.5 WKHS. Welcome back, everybody, to Fan Cam, a sports talk show where two friends give their opinion on sports. I am Peter, joined by my co-host, Andrew.
How's it going?
It's going good. How about yourself?
I'm doing pretty good.
And we are back with another week of sports. NBA playoffs have taken off. College basketball is now slowed down after the national championship, and it is really into the recruiting and getting your team ready for the next year. So we have a lot to talk about. Andrew, do you want to take it away with our Trojan sports?
Yes. So on Tuesday, we had track and field traveling to Kent Island. Also on Tuesday, tennis hosted Colonel Richardson at home. Yesterday, we had baseball and softball at Colonel Richardson, and boys lacrosse traveled to Kent Island. Also on Wednesday, girls lacrosse hosted Kent Island. Today, we have boys lacrosse traveling to North Dorchester, as long as baseball and softball versus St. Michael's at home, and girls lacrosse versus North Dorchester at home. And then to round out the week on Friday, we have tennis at St. Michael's, girls lacrosse at North Caroline, and baseball and softball host North Dorchester on Friday.
Thank you, Andrew. And with that being said, it is now spring sports, which is weird to still be talking about. Baseball and also NHL playoffs, but the playoffs have started Saturday. Game one of round one, the play-in happened. We had the Heat beating the Cavaliers to get the last play-in spot, and then we had the Warriors getting the last play-in spot. So they now started the first round of the playoffs. The Bucks and the Pacers faced off, and it was a good game. The Bucks couldn't hold it together. They were within eight after the first quarter, and then the Pacers just came out swinging. They were able to win that one 117-98. And then next, the most exciting game of the night, I was watching this one, and I just couldn't stop watching. It started off with the Clippers dominating. They were up almost 10 points after the first quarter. At the second half, they were only up five, and during the second half, it was just chippy. It was back and forth, but it ended up being Russell Westbrook, one of those veteran players that have played in the playoffs that's willing to get scrappy, that was able to win that one for them, and Jokic was one rebound away from getting a 30-point triple-double, so crazy performance out of him. We had the Pistons and Knicks. And this one was another back-and-forth game until the fourth quarter. The Knicks kind of just took over, played their game, and were able to take this one 123-112. And then finally, we had the Timberwolves versus the Lakers. And this one was a no-doubter. The Timberwolves won every quarter by 10 points or more. They were easily winning this one. So they got that win. And those teams are now 1-0 in the playoffs. And then we had some of the East matchups. We had the Celtics taking down the Magic dominantly by almost 20 points. And a little thing about the Celtics, they now have a sixth man of the year on the team in Peyton Pritchard. He has been one of the best, better players for them. He's been really dominant, able to come off the bench, and he's just a scrappy, scrappy player. And then the Cavs were able to beat the Heat by 20. And the Warriors were able to take down the Rockets 95-85. So that's a little bit of how the playoffs are going. We had some games Monday, Tuesday, and yesterday. Andrew, you want to take a look at those ones?
Yes. So on Monday, the Pistons and Knicks played game two. And this time, the Pistons got the revenge from game one. And they tied the series at one game apiece. The final score of that one was 100-94. Then moving on to game two of the Clippers and Nuggets, also on Monday night. This game was very close like game one, but this time the Clippers were able to come out on top with a final score of 105-102. And that series is tied at one game apiece as well. And then also some more Game 2 action. We had the Pacers and the Bucks play, and the Pacers dominated once again, and they improved their lead in the series 2-0. The Thunder dominated the Grizzlies once again. They had a 51-point win in Game 1. Not as big of a win this time, only a 19-point win this time around, but they improved their series lead to 2-0. And also, the Lakers and Timberwolves played their Game 2, and the Lakers were able to win at home this time. The final score of that one was 94-85, and the series is tied at one game apiece.
Thank you, Andrew. And I know me and you both are massive college basketball fans, and the new thing that every team has to look out for in college basketball is the transfer portal. It's been taking over college basketball the past 2 years since it's been in, and it's been the biggest thing on how teams recruit. A lot of coaches aren't even looking at high school players anymore just because they don't have the size and strength of a lot of these college basketball players. And if you can get people who have been playing college basketball for 3 years and are willing to come in for a fourth for your team, pay them a little bit of money, it'll be pretty good for your team. So we have a lot of the top five guards right now that are in the transfer. Then we'll go to the forwards and then our bigs. So right now, PJ Haggerty hasn't committed to a team yet, but he was playing on Memphis, one of the biggest reasons Memphis had as good of a season as they did. He's still looking for a team. Andrew, who do you think should use a point guard right now? Like, what school do you see him potentially going to? Or maybe even, do you think he would go back to Memphis?
I mean, everybody's like, he's probably the best portal pickup that any team could get. So I'm sure every team's going to be needing him. And I feel like he'll end up in probably an SEC school, like somewhere that has a lot of money, because I saw where he's requesting $4 million in NIL, which I just think they got to put a cap on how much money players can ask, because the price is only getting higher and higher year after year. And before you know it, kids will be making just as much money as if they were in the NBA. So they got to put a cap on that. But I feel like he'll end up at a higher power conference team, but I don't have like a set team that I feel like he would be best fit at.
Yeah, I definitely agree on you saying that there needs to be some regulations to this NIL stuff. It's crazy that schools are able to pretty much take half of their basketball budget or even their whole basketball budget into paying one player. And these players, you know, what if they get injured and now you're paying a guy $4 million? That's half your team's budget and they can't even play. But another star that came out from under the rug, not many people really knew about him, Bennett Stritz. From Drake, his coach left, I'm pretty sure, to go to Iowa, right?
And he went to Iowa.
And he's going to follow his coach, which, not surprising. This is one of the players that he had on his D2 team when they brought him up from Drake. So this kid, real gritty, 6'4", so on the taller side of the guards, but really just one of the, your normal-sized guards. He is going to Iowa, playing in the Big Ten, and I definitely think he can shake up a little bit in the Big Ten. Another team that's in the Big Ten, UCLA, just got, in my opinion, one of the best guards, my favorite guard in this transfer portal, Devon Dent from New Mexico, going to UCLA, really good player. I've liked watching him play at New Mexico. I remember watching him in high school with another big player from Duke, Jared McCain. They were on the same high school team. And when Jared was getting a whole bunch of publicity, Devon Dent was one of the reasons that that Centennial team was able to win all of the high school things. He's averaged almost 20 points at New Mexico. Now going to UCLA, I think the Big Ten is looking a lot stronger now. And then two guards that I was surprised are transferring. They probably didn't have the greatest season that they wanted. Ian Jackson out of New York is going from UNC to St. John's, which, not surprising, St. John's being the powerhouse of New York. But Ian Jackson didn't have like a horrible season per se. He might have not had the most points, but he's coming off being a five-star in high school. You kind of expect that kid to think he's going to score a lot, but end up not. But another surprising one, in my opinion, was Rob Wright, one of the reasons Baylor was so good this year. He's going to BYU to pair up with his longtime best friend and AJ DeBenska. So BYU is looking loaded this year. They have extremely good talent, young and old, going there. So that's going to be interesting to see what happens. And then, Andrew, taking a look at our forwards, right? We have like RJ Lewis Jr. from St. John's now transferring. Darian Williams from Texas Tech transferring. How do you see these players kind of forming out? And I know Maryland has lost a lot of players, so do you want to kind of talk about who they lost and how they lost them, like where they're going?
Yeah, so I feel like a lot of the big-time names like RJ Lewis, they're entering the draft, but they entered the transfer portal in case they didn't get drafted, but chances are they're going to get drafted. So I feel like a lot of guys are just weighing out their options. And also, recently, the transfer portal closed on Tuesday, and a lot of people are upset because NCAA is trying to change the eligibility rule from 4 years to 5 years. So a lot of seniors that are out of eligibility entered the portal just in case they get a fifth year. Like Julian Reese, who graduated from Maryland, he just entered the transfer portal yesterday because just in case they give an extra year of eligibility. But also, we lost Jacoby Gillespie, our starting point guard. He went to Tennessee. Rodney Rice on Tuesday committed to USC, and he's getting just under $3.5 million in NIL, which is crazy to me. And Julian Reese entered the portal. He might be able to play another year, but it won't be at Maryland most likely. Selton Miguel graduated. We lost some bench players in Deshaun Harris-Smith went to Georgetown. Jahari Long, who played the first two seasons, Kevin Willard was there, but didn't play last year because of injury. He went to George Mason, and the only two Maryland players that followed Kevin Willard to Villanova were Malachi Palmer and Braden Pierce.
Thank you, and I know you're a little upset about how Kevin Willard decided to leave. If I was Kevin Willard, I'd probably try and stay at Maryland because Maryland has a way more promising basketball program than Villanova, but maybe Kevin Willard sees something in Villanova that we don't. Maybe he's able to rebuild it up. But I just think the way that college basketball has changed, the way NIL eligibility has taken it over, it's kind of crazy to me. A lot of teams or a lot of kids now are going to be playing for 6 years because of this new JUCO rule that allows you to play 2 years in a JUCO before even starting your eligibility for NCAA. So we'll start seeing sixth-year seniors regularly, which I thought this year was the last year of the COVID seniors in your 5th years, but it just seems like some of these players are able to find their way back to college basketball. You know, you get injured once. If you don't play half of the games, even if you weren't a starter, you can redshirt that year, and now you have a whole nother year of eligibility. So these kids are just finding ways to stay in college basketball. And if you're a player who's probably not going to get drafted, but, you know, you were a good high school player and they're giving you a little bit of money, why not? You're probably going to make more in college basketball than you will like a regular job outside of it or even like overseas or G League. So I definitely don't blame these players for trying to stay as long as they can, especially how they're getting paid. It just needs to be regulated. But right before we end this show, Andrew, do you want to kind of take over and take a look at baseball real quick for us?
Yes. So baseball season started towards the end of March. Opening day was actually on my birthday, March 27th. So they've been in action for a little while now, and they're kind of starting to separate and see who's the best in each division. So let's take a look at the American League first. In the American League East, the Yankees are in first, followed up by the Red Sox, Blue Jays, Orioles, and Rays. In the Central, the Tigers are leading, followed by the Guardians, Royals, Twins, and White Sox. And then to round out the American League in the West, we have the Rangers in first, followed by the Mariners, Angels, Astros, and Athletics. Now, moving on to the National League, in the National League East, the Mets are in first place, followed by the Phillies, Marlins, Braves, and Nationals. Moving on to the Central, the Cubs are atop of the NL Central, followed by the Brewers, Reds, Cardinals, and Pirates. And rounding out the National League, in the NL West, we have the Padres in first, tied with the Dodgers. So Dodgers and Padres are tied for first, and then followed by the Giants, Diamondbacks, and Rockies.
Thank you, Andrew. And that will round out our show this week. Thank you, everybody, for listening. If you're new and you want to listen to past episodes, you can go anywhere you find your podcasts and look up FanCam. Or if you want to keep up with the news, you can go to FanCam_talkshow on Instagram. But until then, we'll see you guys next week.